you, Brother Mike. Thank you so much. Turn to hymn number 70. And while you're there, I'm not going to introduce another subject. I ask you a quick question, though. How many of you have ever met a man that was, and if you have, I do want, raise your hand on this. You ever met a man named Bildad? Has anybody ever met a man named Eliphaz or Zophar? Nobody's ever met anybody named that. Those are forgettable characters. They're forgettable. And you know why they're forgettable? You know them with this name, Job's Miserable Comforters. That's their name. That's who they were. And they are forgotten to history. They're forgotten to history because when this book, you've seen behind the curtain, Brother Michael did a wonderful job of showing us what's really going on. Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz, they said, "There's Job, there's one reason that you're such." They came to him in the midst of that incredible loss, just staggering, paralyzing loss, tragic trauma. We talk about trauma-informed care. Job needed trauma-informed care, needed the grace of God. And they come along and they say, "Job, just tell us what you've been up to. Tell us, have you ever seen tragedy in somebody's life and you went, well, I wonder what they did?" Hopefully you haven't done a lot of that. That's so legalistic, so moralistic. That's exactly what they did. They opened their mouths and they said, surely sin lieth at thy door. Just tell us, confess your sin. Anybody who's suffering like this, it's got to be because you have secretly sinned and now God's openly manifesting your sin. God deliver us from that kind of mindset. How legalistic is that? All suffering is not because, and if in your mind you're thinking, no, I think that all suffering is a result of poor choices. Suffering is, it's the result of people in rebellion against God. Now let me say, there is some suffering that is a result of rebellion against God. If you bow your back and you're bound and determined, God, you can't make me get a grip. Because then Paul said, "Be not deceived, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." David said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." God is faithful to his children. If you're going to walk in paths of destruction, he's going to make your way hard to try to bring you back to where you're safe and healthy. Not like a prison warden doing punishment, but a father that loves you. So there is some suffering. I have suffered in my life. People that I work with, folks that I deal with in counseling, there are many of them that are experiencing grievous complications in their life because of the poor choices that they're making. There is some suffering in this world because of that. But all suffering is not that. And it's arrogant. It's legalistic for you and I to see somebody suffering and say, "Boy, I wonder what they've been up to." And that's what his friend said. You say, "Well, give me an example of somebody who suffered and it wasn't because." How about Jesus Christ? How about Jesus? How about the Savior? The Word of God tells us that when he's baptized and receives the benediction of the Father and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, then the Word of God, immediately God has expressed his approbation for his Son. Then he's led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil comes out and tempts him. Trouble in the life of the spotless Lamb of God. And so we are going to have some trouble that's not of our own making just by virtue of the fact that we live in a broken world. And that Satan will, if you're a born-again child of God, and let me assure you of this, if you're a born-again child of God and you're attempting to serve your Savior, Satan will make you his mark. He's not pleased. When if you go beneath the liquid grave and you rise up to follow him in the newness of life, he will not take it laying down, no more than he did the baptism of the Son of God. And you're going to have to bear your cross. Satan will make you his mark. Job had been an exemplary servant of God in this world, and Satan wasn't going to put up with it. So in the midst of those sufferings, what is it? What is it that's going to take care of us in the midst of those sufferings? And it is, I'm telling you, it's dark. Job's wife turns her back on him. She does. Imagine that. His friends were not faithful. Okay, his friends weren't faithful, but he can count on his good wife. She looked at him and said, skin for skin. Why don't you just curse God and die? That's a comforting wife, isn't it? I've had a very comforting wife, thank God, in the midst of trial and tribulation. It was all set against him. Things got dark. Job got hopeless at one point. And he said, oh, that I'd been as an untimely birth. Cursed be the day they said a man child is born. A child of God can get forlorn in the midst of their circumstances. This world can be a heaviness to our soul. It can vex us. But there's something that we can always cling to. Always cling to. And when things were so dark, when the skin worms were heavy on Job's flesh, when the cancers were heavy on Job's flesh, just eat up with cancer from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. His wife's turned his back on, lost all of his children, everything they had. He said, even little children wouldn't have anything to do with me. And then something changed for Job. And he said this, oh, that my words were now written. He went from despair, and listen, what changed it? It changes in Job 19. He said, oh, that my words were now written, and that they were clean with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. What is it that you want to say that's bringing hope, Job? This is what he said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the earth at the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh. You see, the prospects of future glory delivered Job from present suffering. The prospects of future glory delivered Job from present suffering. He said, yet I know in my flesh, shall I see him for myself, whom mine eyes shall behold and not another. Job said a lot in that statement. First of all, he said he knew that he had a Redeemer. He knew there was someone that was going to cancel the sin debt, remove all the obstacles between him and his God. And then he knew, though his body had laid in the grave 10,000 years, one day in his flesh, he was going to see his Redeemer for himself. Listen, I'm glad to know that you're going to see him, but I'm really glad to know I'm going to see him. With these eyes, we believe in the resurrection of the body. He's going to see him in his flesh with these eyes. He said, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou shalt have a desire for the work of thy hands. Job could find hope in the midst of despair and discouragement because of the prospects of future glory. Say, well, that's just pie in the sky. No. No. That's just a vapor up there, Brother David. That's just a cloud. That's so far. No. What we're living in now is the cloud. Let me tell you, your life right now compared to eternity and future glory that's waiting on you is like a little drop of dew compared to the Atlantic Ocean. Your time in this world is nothing compared to eternity and glory and what we're going to have in heaven. And I'm telling you, when I can find consolation in nothing else, when I can't see the answers, I can't see the way past, it's insurmountable. I think to myself, as David said, night don't last always. Joy is going to come in the morning. And when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be morning. They can set every city in the United States on fire, but Jesus Christ is going to come and make it all right. They can release more pandemics, but Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to heal the universe. And that's going to be forever. We may get America fixed for a little while, but it won't be long, and it'll be out of joint again. But Jesus is coming back again. He is coming back. And the reason I know he's coming back, Job said, you will have a desire for the work of your hands. And let me tell you all, you're the work of his hands. You were the work of his hands in the covenant of grace before the world was, when he made choice of you in his son. You were the work of his hands at Calvary when the Son of God died for you. You're the work of his hands in regeneration when he quickened you and born you again. You're the work of his hands in the work of sanctification, the Holy Spirit molding you and making you. And you're going to be the work of his hands in the resurrection. He's coming back for what's his. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want what's mine, don't you? I do. Now listen, I'll give it to you if you ask me for it. Don't take it from me. But if you want it, worse than I do, I give it to you about anything I have now except my wife and the beagle. You can even I'll give you the cat. You can have the cat. I still ain't figured out how he got in. I want what's mine, though. I want what belongs to me. God is going to have what belongs to him. We'll rest ourselves in that. Night doesn't last always. Jesus is coming back. And Satan will rage, as Brother Mike preached to us so sweetly this morning. Satan will rage and hell will vent its spite, yet Christ will save his heart's delight. What glorious news that is in the midst of our trial and tribulation. We'll swap. I'm going to help Brother Mike next week. So thank you for your patience. And do pray for us for the remainder of the day. I've got to get back on the road to get seeing about folks. So please pray that the Lord will give us energy and strength that we need to finish our duties today. If you're here this morning and you desire a home of the church, you want to come and go with us. If you feel like that you are the work of God's hands, that he's placed his hand of grace in your life, and the Spirit of God is sanctifying you and moving you, and you can feel the pulling, drawing power of the Spirit of God this morning, you come while we sing hymn number 7. Is that Take the Name of Jesus?
Yes.
I hope it is. Thank you. Let's stand and sing hymn number 70. Take the Name of Jesus.
Take the name of Jesus with